Latvia Weekly, your independent guide to the news in Latvia, with your hosts, Otto Tabuns and Joe Horgan. Latvia Museum, and welcome to episode number 141 of the Latvia Weekly podcast. I am your host, Joe Horgan, and I'm here in Jelgava, unfortunately not joined by my usual co-host, Otto Tabuns, who, as all of you know, is a very, very busy person. He just yesterday released a media toolkit, which educators are going to be able to use throughout the country as part of his Baltic Security Foundation with another one of our occasional co-hosts, Olaf Nickers. So, unfortunately, this week was a little bit too busy for him, but as you know, the news goes on, and I will be here myself today, not doing as great a job as Otto, of course, would, breaking down the stories as best as I can. And before we kind of get into the news, just a little bit of a note on the weather this time of year, for those of you who are not listening from Latvia. We kind of had a little bit of a, you know, what's called an Indian summer, I guess. So we had a little bit of a warmer week than we did the week before. You remember, if you listened to the last episode, Otto and I were talking about kind of freezing a little bit. This week it was possible, you know, maybe for the last time this year, to comfortably eat outside. I was with my family at Chili Pizza last night, and we had, you know, we did have the use of a heat lamp, which was certainly helpful. But, you know, given how things are looking right now with the weather, that might be the last time that we do this. And speaking of forecasts, the forecast for the weather is not just looking colder, but also for the COVID-19 situation here in Latvia, it is also looking a bit grimmer, unfortunately. And that is where we are starting today with the COVID-19 related stories. We will get through those as quickly as possible because, you know, I think everyone is sick of hearing about COVID all the time, but that is the main issue, of course, this week, as it very often is. Then we're going to get through our kind of major domestic stories, a few international stories, and then we will close things out. So first of all, the situation here when it comes to COVID is, like I said, getting unfortunately worse, as it has been expected to for quite some time in the fall, as it did last year, and as it has been really all over the world lately. So just today, so this is Saturday, the 2nd of October, that I am recording this. So there were 1,190 new COVID cases and 10 deaths from COVID-19. And in terms of the 14-day cumulative amount per 100,000 people, which is the main statistic that is used to calculate what restrictions are needed, for example. So we are basically where we were this time last year in on December 20th. Okay, so the situation, has really rapidly been getting worse, and of course is leading to a number of new restrictions. First of all, Otto and I talked last week about how, finally, and this has been planned for quite some time. This isn't just a completely new restriction regime that was just pulled out of thin air. This is something that has been planned for quite a while for October, the fall, I guess, really probably October, when, things were planned to get worse. So there is now a red, yellow, and green set of lights, as we've used quite often, throughout the COVID time here in Latvia, in terms of which events or services can be provided in each one. For green, that is restricted to people who are vaccinated or have overcome COVID-19 and have a COVID-19 certificate. Okay, that's the certificate that we've been talking about for quite some time. Okay, so that is green events. And then there's also kind of a middle one where there's green events with children. Okay, that includes children up to age of 12 without a COVID-19 certificate or with a valid testing certificate. Now the yellow set, okay, so the yellow set. So this includes also people with a negative COVID-19 test, okay, and also the children as well. In terms of the amount of people, okay, who are allowed in these different regimes, the amount of people for one of these events, when it comes to the green events, is unlimited. When it comes to these yellow events or green events with children, it's limited to 300 inside, 500 outside, okay? Then there are also going to be, like I said, this red set of events, and that is restricted to basically essential services, such as, from what I understand, you know, being able to buy, you know, essential things from shops, and also being able to ride public transportation, being able to go to the post office, and a few other things as well. So also religious events, you know, being able to participate in peaceful protests. So, you know, of course, civil liberties are continuing even in the COVID-19 situation, you know, with obviously, you know, some kind of, you know, obvious safety limitations, you know, certainly. So that is kind of the main thing that's changing. But one other major change that has been made due to the situation, and this is something that has been talked about for quite some time. You know, it was close to being decided upon at one point, but now we are at the point where the government has decided to take one step further when it comes to obligatory vaccination for certain professions, okay? And this would mean that by November 15th. So people who are working in educational establishments, such as myself and Otto, facilities of medical treatment, okay, and that also, which I was kind of surprised, includes pharmacies as well, okay, so that counts as a medical treatment facility, not as just a simple shop, and also in a social care, you know, different social services, you know, we call them social dienests in Latvian. I guess that would be like a, you know, social care facility would be the best translation, most likely. So people are going to need to be fully vaccinated or have a COVID recovery certificate. So they will need the QR code that many of you listening already have if you are here in Latvia and have been vaccinated or have overcome COVID. So in the meantime, okay, so things are going to continue as they have been, you know, with testing and, but as of the 15th of November, it's a little bit unclear right now, at least from what I heard. I haven't been able to, unfortunately, follow this as closely as I wish I could, because this has been a very, very busy week at school. But at least the last I heard, there hasn't really been a clear procedure yet for what happens on the 15th of November if somebody has still not gotten a COVID-19 certificate. And from what I understand, this is something that the government has promised to make more specific guidelines by the 11th of October, which is about at the end of next week, or the beginning of it's a Monday, actually, so it's not next week, so I guess all next week they have time to kind of figure out exactly what kind of procedure will be in place. So that is a major change, and you know, we have been seeing protests when it comes to the issue of vaccination here in Latvia. I think that certainly this action by the government is going to lead to more of that. And also, you know, some of the more anti, you know, either anti-vaccination or anti-obligatory vaccination forces in politics are certainly going to be making a lot of noise about this in the near future. So that is on the radar right now, and we will keep you posted on what happens there. Another situation that has changed slightly with COVID is the new school testing regime. Okay, so first of all, you know, as we mentioned earlier, so that is only going to be happening once every 2 weeks instead of once a week. And a lot of that's just because laboratories weren't able to keep up with the amount of tests that were happening. And also chew tests are going to be used as well, instead of just the spit tests or saliva tests, I guess would be the more polite way to say that previously. So that is one thing that has changed. And also one other thing I want to mention before we kind of move on from COVID. So President Valdis or former President Valdis Zatlers, he was confirmed to have COVID-19, which, you know, our thoughts are certainly with him right now. He was one of the first kind of vaccination ambassadors, actually, back when Latvia's vaccination project started at the beginning of the year. So he, along with a number of other former presidents and leaders of the country, publicly got vaccinated to show, it is something that's safe and something that is, that needs to be done. We certainly hope that helps him. Because he is, 66 years old, which is certainly not old, but, is a little bit more of a risk group, the older that you get for having serious complications. And, obviously you can have serious complications even if you're younger. So hopefully the vaccination will help him pull through that, and our thoughts are with him. But that's it for COVID-19 major restrictions, and we will keep you posted on those as those change, in the coming weeks. But speaking of another president, the current president, who is in the spotlight for, not a great reason either. So there has been a controversy that involves Mr. Egils Levits, and that was over the nomination to the Constitutional Court. Okay, so there was a nomination, there was an open position on the Constitutional Court, and I really wish Otto was here right now because he could explain the story much better, and, when he comes back next week, he certainly will kind of fill in some of the blanks on the story. But basically, the major situation here is that he is being accused of using his political sway to get his candidate that he was supporting elected to the Constitutional Court. And that was Irena Kutinja, who was actually supported by the Saeima Legal Affairs Commission. But the main controversy was that he, according to the people involved in the situation, were saying that he was putting pressure on people from deputies from the Atstibai Par or Development 4 party, and basically demanding that they support him, and saying that if they do not support this candidate, his candidate of choice, that he would publicly criticize this party and their leaders and their ministers. So the president is denying that he put any exertion of pressure on these deputies, but few deputies from Atistipai Par who were a part of the commission, or specifically Inese Voika, did not participate in this vote kind of as a protest. So we will see what comes out of this situation. Otto will certainly be back next week because he is much more of an expert than me when it comes to the procedures of Constitutional Court. And, he'll be able to explain the story a little bit better. But the main upswing right now is that President Levits is on the hot seat. And, it's not a good place to be, really, because he is already, one of the least popular presidents, according to, the most recent polling, for this place in his presidency. So last I saw, he had something around like a 30% approval rating, which is very, very, very low for a president of the country. And this could certainly damage his standing even more if this turns out to be something that is not just smoke, but there is more fire in. Another major controversy, one that we have talked about previously, and has kind of not really gone away, and it died down for a little bit, but now it was back in the spotlight this week. That is on about the mural on the wall of Riga Secondary School number 40, which we talked about previously. This was a tribute to Gemma Skulmēs, the name of the artwork. It is done, it was led by the head of the Art, Latvian Art Academy, Kristians, or the head of the painting department of the Latvian Academy of Art, Kristians Bretke, who is a very well-known artist here. It's a very controversial mural because it depicts nude people who look, one of them has horns on their head and wings. It has also a message as well, which reads, "Mēs esam kā sliekas kulum jārlusinā augsne," which is a quotation by Gemma Skulmē about civil society and that she made there's a very well-known quote. Translation is something along the lines of, all of us are earthworms, and we must dig through the ground. So this sculpture, this painting, this mural has been, something that there have been, protests about, petition to remove it. Well, now, one step further, Victoria Yarkina, who is a lawyer, so she has gone to state police and has started a criminal process, or has asked police to start a criminal process about pornographic content in the mural. Okay, and this, again, has raised a very important, issue about censorship of art and what is considered art, what isn't considered art. You know, this is the kind of discussion that we hear all over the world, about various pieces of art. You know, what is their artistic value? You know, does this count as art? Where should it be put? You know, of course, there's a number of issues here. One of which is that it's on a school. This isn't just a, display inside of a museum somewhere. It is the, wall of a school, of course. So that is one of the major issues here. But this, generally, when it comes to the art community has circled their wagons around Mr. Bletke, which is unsurprisingly. And, a lot of people are, concerned that this is a, could be a form of, censorship, and, certainly that it's inappropriate to involve state police in a discussion about art. So, on one hand, this is probably one of the most successful pieces of art in recent Latvian history, considering the amount of public debate and discussion that has been generated because of it. So, I would say that's very successful on the, on the part of the artist, who certainly, I think, was looking to provoke with this artwork. But, it's raised a number of other questions as well, which will be very interesting to follow. So at least the latest I've heard on this is that most likely the state police are not going to, really take this very far. They have called in experts about, on pornography and art experts to look into this matter. The latest I've heard that it's very unlikely that this will progress further, but definitely something to keep an eye on and something to be aware of, that this is what, people are talking about in Latvia right now. Another very important issue for everyone who lives in Latvia, as I kind of mentioned, although it's a little bit warmer this week, it's going to get a lot colder. And throughout Europe, especially in the UK, as we've been seeing, we've had a little bit of, an issue when it comes to energy, and specifically natural gas, the prices of natural gas, which have been rising and have led to higher energy costs here in Latvia, which is very dependent on natural gas. One big concern right now is that in Inčukalns, which is not too far from Riga, which has a massive underground storage of natural gas, there's a number of natural gas traders who, very unusually, have been selling and moving stock out of the facility, which has definitely led to a lot of concern that the stocks here in Latvia would, be dangerously low, specifically if there is a, if we do have a very cold winter, because this time of year they would normally be, filling up the facility and getting ready. So, there's definitely a little bit of a concern here. It's difficult to say whether or not that this, gas was meant for use in Latvia or somewhere else, but it is a, strange kind of tendency right now that is being looked into, because, obviously so many people depend on, this for heating here in Latvia, and also for other energy. So we want to make sure that, prices aren't going to massively skyrocket and really, really hurt people, especially since from the economic forecast that I've heard, inflation is going to, go up more than usual this in the next few months. And, it's going to start to feel a lot more noticeable for people at the beginning of 2022. So we will have to see exactly what happens there. Another thing that's getting more expensive, for those of you who go to Jūrmala by car, and Jūrmala, for those of you who don't know, is the very long city near Riga and along the Baltic coast, or the coast of the Bay of Riga, that extends from Riga's west side, kind of up the Bay of Riga for, I believe it's 30 kilometers long. It's a very, very, very long city. Very thin, but very long city with a number of kind of like villages that make up it. So for those of you driving into the center of Jurmala, there is a pass that you have to pay for, and those costs are going to go up. So that will go up from 3 euros, from 2 euros, and you will have to pay that all year long instead of just the summer season. That is from April 1st, 2022. So, you know, Otto and I's recommendation for those of you in Riga and wanting to visit Jurmala would be to simply take the train, because there are many, many, many train stops in Jurmala. One thing that's kind of confusing, though, is that, you know, when you take the train to Jurmala, you can't just ask for a ticket to Jurmala. You have to ask for the name of the stop in the specific, you know, neighborhood or village of Jurmala that you want to go to. So, you know, is it the Lilupe region? Is it the, Dzintari region or Yaundubulti region? So you do have to be a little bit more specific when you are taking the train to Jurmala, of course. Another couple of stories. One thing is that the Dialis Theater, okay, for those of you who are into theater and, you know, cultural activities, well, the kind of most famous theaters in Latvia are the National Theater, which is right in the center. It's where the Latvian Constitution was signed. Then also the New Riga Theater or Young Riga Theater. I can't remember what the exact translation is because it's Jaunais Rīgas Teatris. That has been under construction for quite some time. We've talked about that. There's been a number of problems with that construction, but their current facility is temporarily in a former tobacco factory. And then, of course, the Dialis Theater, which is very, very prestigious, and the building itself is a very well-known kind of architectural. Well, you know, some people love it, some people don't like it so much, but it is considered an architectural masterpiece among architects for the most part, and it is part of Latvia's culture canon in the structure section. So, however, the area around the theater has needed some tender, loving care for quite some time. And, you know, if you've been to the theater, it's, you know, pretty close to the center of Riga. I mean, it's still considered in the center region. You know, the square around it really needs to be rebuilt. And that finally is going to happen. Okay, so over the summer, they were going to start, but there were some delays. That supposedly is going to start in the next month or so from the current plan. So we will keep an eye on that. And hopefully the next time you go to Riga, to Dialis Theater, it will look a lot nicer. If you're interested in public transportation, by the way, so and if you live in Riga, you can go to riga.lv and you can vote on the design of the new public transportation stops, most likely bus stops, but also tram stops and trolley bus stops that will be put into place, because the plan is to redesign and rebuild a number of bus stops that need that to happen to them. So you can vote on the design of that at riga.lv. From what I understand, only residents of Riga can vote on that, but that makes sense because you are the ones who will be using it the most often. So riga.lv until October 15th. If you are interested also in not just theater, but also cinema, okay, so you can take a look at the new cinema that is opening in Riga Plaza, that is Apollo Kino. Those of us from Jelgava, you know, Riga Plaza is kind of the closest theater that is easy to get to by train. There's also the Forum Cinema, which is at the last train stop, but a lot of people get off at Tornikalns from Jelgava and then go to Riga Plaza. So my students are very happy about this because it has been closed for quite some time for renovation, and you know, it's good to see, I guess, for the cinema industry, for the movie industry, that there is a theater that is opening right now, because you know that has been one of the hardest hit industries by COVID-19 restrictions. You know, a number of theaters in my home state of Maine have had to close down, an entire, you know, major chain had to close down. So you know, hopefully we will also see a theater finally in Jelgava, which we have been promised for quite some time. There were a number of theaters in Jelgava in the past, or cinemas in Jelgava in the past, but you know, due to a number of, you know, factors such as just, Riga being so close and there not being such a huge population in Jelgava to justify it economically, we haven't had one, but it has still been a plan for a long time. So hopefully we'll see one. Another very kind of weird story, which apparently a couple of days ago there was some hooligan who was in Riga near the Monument of Freedom, which is right in the center of the city, right on the border of kind of Old Town in the central region. There has been for the last few years this kind of big sign with the letters RIGA, and the I letter is kind of hollow so that you can stand inside it. And the idea is you can take a picture of yourself that there is no Riga without I, for example. Okay, so that's the point of it. Well, the I letter has been knocked over by some man who, I don't know, was not having a very, very good night. There is a video of this that state police took, or actually, I'm sorry, city police took of the vandalism. And the man had to be taken to the hospital because it turned out that letter was a lot heavier than he probably expected, and it fell over on him. So, definitely a warning to people who want to vandalize other things like that in the future that, there can be some immediate consequences that are not expected. So please do not knock over any more signs if you were thinking of doing so. That is just about it for the kind of major domestic stories I wanted to look at, kind of in brief. One kind of major international story, which we have been following for quite some time, is the issue with Belarus, specifically over the refugees who are coming into Latvia that are being basically shuttled over the border by Belarusian authorities in a very internationally illegal way and really illegal in a number of ways. This situation, which we have discussed many, many, many times on the show, in which the Belarusian government has basically been using people as human chess pieces to test the resilience of the European Union and of specifically Latvia, Lithuania, Poland. Well, this has led to calls to put up more border fencing between Latvia and Belarus, and one fence has already been installed. So this was gifted by Slovenia back a few months, I guess 1 month ago. So this is only 1.5 kilometers long, or I guess precisely 1.7 kilometers long. There needs to be quite a bit more of that. So there are going to be another 37 kilometers that is going to be provided soon. This is a one solution that is being put into place to help resolve this crisis, but there's going to need to be a number of other solutions as well, as we've been talking about previously. Certainly there's not going to be so many crossings in the winter just due to the weather situation and how cold it's going to be soon. But we will see if these fences kind of really make any kind of good deterrent. And just in terms of how it looks, so this isn't the kind of border wall that people have called for on the U.S.-Mexico border, which is like a very kind of tall and a solid wall. So this is really kind of a wall of barbed wire, of a very thick barbed wire, which we've seen in a number of other places in the European region, and these kinds of fences were put into place during the Syrian refugee crisis a few years ago. So this is what we're talking about here. And one very sad piece of news, another very, very important person to Latvia's diplomacy has passed away. This is Aina Nagobadze Abuls, and she passed away at the age of 101. And she was one of the very first people who took part in Latvian diplomacy in the Latvian Foreign Service just after the restoration of independence. Now, of course, as Otto and I have talked about before, so the Latvian diplomatic mission in exile was continuing during the illegal occupation of the Nazi and Soviet regimes, but she was participating after the restoration of Latvian independence, and she was also the ambassador from Latvia to Spain, to Portugal, and to France, and then was also the permanent representative of Latvia to UNESCO. So very, very, very important career, and very, very, very impressive career. So thank you for your service, and certainly our condolences to her family. And that just about does it for this very short episode of Latvia Weekly, taking a look at some of the kind of biggest essential stories that happened throughout the week. Next week, when Otto is back, we will go into a bit more detail into a lot of the stories, and we'll take a look back at how some of the stories from this week have developed. But I just want to say, first of all, a huge thanks once again, as I always try to do every episode, to Kian, who is running our Facebook page, the Latvia Weekly Facebook page. If you are not already somebody who has liked that page or who has followed that page, please do so. I would strongly suggest it, because Kian puts stories of the day every single day. So, you know, although Otto and I, you know, we try to record once a week, it's been a little bit more than, or a little bit less than once a week the last month or so, just because of our schedules. Well, you can go to the Latvia Weekly Facebook page, and Kian updates that every single day with kind of the most important things to know that are happening in the country. And thank you to all of you who are listening. If this is your first time, or if this is your 141st time, we hope that this has been helpful to understand what's happening here in Latvia. And we're always looking for you know, feedback and you know, anything that can help us improve the show and make it better for you. So we'll see you soon, and until next week, visa labu visiem.